السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, last week we started our discussion based upon one hadith that basically is from the Jawami al-Kalim, from those sayings of the Nabi of Allah that are comprehensive yet concise. And I made mention that our coming Jumu'ahs will basically discuss the first half of this hadith. We only were allowed to shed light upon a few words of this hadith, and today will be a continuation of that. The hadith has been recorded by Imam Muslim on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. The Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man naffasa 'an mu'minin qurbatan min qurabi ad-dunya, naffasa Allahu 'anhu qurbatan min qurabi yawm al-qiyamah." So basically, the advice, the instruction that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving will enhance and strengthen the social structure. So Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that if we find a person in distress, musibah, he has been struck by anxiety. Now anxiety, worry, distress is known as qurba. And the qurba of this dunya, and one person comes to that person and addresses that qurba to the best of his ability. He tries to relieve that person from that anxiety, from that worry. Allah Almighty will remove a qurba from this person on the Day of Judgment. And I made mention at the end of my small presentation last week that the qurba of this dunya is less in intensity and it does not have an eternal lifespan. The qurba of the hereafter increases in intensity by time and has no lifespan. Life and time does not concern it. It is for eternity. So basically a wise choice will be that we try to address the needs of people in this dunya and Allah Almighty will address our needs in the hereafter. I made mention of one hadith that Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person that addresses the need of a believer, Allah will clothe him with a attire of dignity and honor, min hulalil karama yawm al qiyamah, will clothe him with a attire of dignity and honor on the Day of Judgment. This was a recollection of what we discussed last week. I would like to continue. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very fond of Ibn Abbas. There were only two uncles from many uncles that accepted Islam. There were only two that accepted, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, or Ibn Abbas, or Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. And being from the bloodline of the Nabi of Allah, the son of Abbas, Ibn Abbas, was very, very intelligent. Later on, the Ummah recognized the potential of this young lad who became Imamul Mufassirun, the leader of all the Imams that have dedicated their life to the interpretation of the Quran. So till today, If there is a person that is making tafsir of the ayat of the glorious Quran, he cannot disregard the contribution of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, being very young at the departure of the Nabi of Allah, whatever time he had, he stayed with the Nabi of Allah, very, very close. And being the cousin of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi kept him close as well. Now Imam Tabarani in his Awsat has made mention on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the very profound statement that gives us inside to helping brothers and sisters. Many a times we focus only upon certain things, and basically my observation is that after some years, let me say, people become very comfortable with that, and it does not exert much. For example, if a person has been praying 5 times a day for the last 20 years, he has become habitual to that. There's not much of a struggle in that now. Think about it. We have been praying since the age of 14 or 15. It is part and parcel of what we are. There's not much of a struggle in the establishment of prayer for that person that is punctual. Indeed, there will be a struggle in improving the quality, the sifat of the prayer, but the establishment of prayer alone is very, very easy. And a person does not reach the high levels unless he exerts himself, unless he places himself in certain actions that are demanding and not liked by the person. A lot of people ask me, why don't we improve in akhlaqiyat? Why are the Muslims devoid of akhlaqiyat? We will find many people establishing prayers, performing hajj, growing beards, but akhlaqiyat is something that we cannot see. Basically, akhlaqiyat cannot be perfected. It is a continuous effort. And each day, a person has to make a struggle. For example, a person is in a disagreement with his wife. The wife is in disagreement with the husband. This is a challenge every day to uphold the akhlaqiyat. You are addressing the ghadab, the anger, the frustration, the ego. There are so many different weaknesses that are being touched by this disagreement. So people drop the guard. They drop the guard. It will be much easier to come to the masjid and establish the prayer, but it will be very hard to uphold akhlaqiyat when the wife backchats. And that is on a daily basis. If you have a good relationship, it may be every week. If you have a perfect relationship, it may be once a month. But it is there. That's why it is so hard to perfect akhlaqiyat. The person speaking is a pauper when it comes to akhlaqiyat. The people listening, they are paupers as well when it comes to akhlaqiyat. Because it demands a constant effort. You can't switch off at any time. And that was basically the difference between the predecessors and why they received so much from above compared to what we are not receiving. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man nafasa an mu'minin," helping a person. Now helping a person basically demands the activation of so many good qualities and trampling over so many ill qualities. A person is a miser, he has to trample over that. A person dislikes that person, he has to trample over that. There are so many different weaknesses inside that will be touched by this. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, He has said something so profound, or he has heard something so profound from the Nabi of Allah. Before we even relate that statement of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would like to make mention, I would like to give you a depiction. Before the month of Ramadan, and sometimes early in the month of Ramadan, so many people approach me, Imam Sahab, what are the rules pertaining to i'tikaf, seclusion? I want to sit in Holland Park Mosque for i'tikaf. I said, fine. Do I need to book? What should I bring? What about futur? What about suhoor? So we satisfy these people. Some of them come for 10 complete days, some come for 5 days, some come for 3 days. Alhamdulillah, the mosque is very much alive. Not only Holland Park Mosque, all the masajid throughout the entire Muslim world. Keeping that in mind. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, I have heard from Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man masha fi hajati akhihi, man masha fi hajati akhihi, kana khayran lahu min i'tikafihi 10 sinin. A person that walks towards the need of another brother. Now the Nabi of Allah did not say if he fulfills the need. He may not have the capacity to fulfill the need, but he walks towards fulfilling the need. مَمْ مَشَى فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ. The Nabi of Allah did not say that he has to go and fulfill the need. Basically in this world, you do not get paid until you do the work. In this dunya, you have to do the work to be paid. The Nabi of Allah says, no, you do what you have to do, what you can do. The result is in the hands of Allah Almighty. So you are walking towards the need of a person that is in a problem. كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ اِعْتِكَافِهِ 10 سنين. This walking towards the need of a brother is better than 10 years of i'tikaf. 10 years of i'tikaf. Think about it, 10 years. I don't think there's anyone in the Muslim world now that has made i'tikaf for 10 years. Indeed, the Nabi of Allah once made i'tikaf for 30 days in search of Laylatul Qadr. But basically the ruling is 10 days. 30 years, Allahu Akbar. And then the Nabi of Allah says, وَمَنِ اعْتَكَفَ يَوْمًا. And the person who makes i'tikaf for one day, just one day, ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and he is sincere. There is ikhlas there. It is not for name or fame. It is not to be recognized. But he has done this to please Allah Almighty. وَمَنِ اعْتَكَفَ يَوْمًا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ ثَلَاثَ خَنَادِقٍ. Allah Almighty will place three trenches between him and the fire of hell. كُلُّ خَنْدَكْ أَبْعَدْ مَا بَيْنَ الْخَافِقِينَ. Each trench is wider than the distance of heaven and earth. This is the reward for walking towards the need of a brother. And that's why when we study Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that basically is the role model from the Ummah of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The role model from the Ummah of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have read his biography. I have read his seerah. He used to milk the animals before coming for Fajr. He used to respond to the needs of people before coming to Fajr. That a person, if he knows that people are in need, and he establishes Fajr, basically knowing after and not doing anything about it and then performing Fajr, there is a standard of hypocrisy in this. That this is the makhluk of Allah. I am standing in front of Allah because I claim that I love Allah Almighty. How can I leave the makhluk of Allah that Allah has created in this situation and establish my communication. My own Shaykh Sufi Sarwar Sahab, those that go to Pakistan, they should visit this personality. I live in Wali, from Jamia Ashrafiya Lahore. So he was teaching us Bukhari, and he's very old, 80, 90 years of age. And one day he had a very wide smile on his face. So he came in the class and he was smiling. And he said, "Do you know why I'm smiling today?" We said, "No, Shaykh, why are you smiling?" He said that today my wife presented food just before the Salatul Asr, just before Salatul Asr. And when she was to place it onto the sufra, it fell from her hands. And the hot gravy fell on my feet. So I became very, very upset. In 15 minutes, it was time to establish Salatul Asr. So I said, "Maine nahi khana. I'm not going to eat this." I was very, very angry. So I stood up and I walked outside the house, thinking in my mind, that's it. And I'm going to go and establish Salatul Fajr. He said, I was walking, and I made it to the door of the masjid. And then I thought, I said, "Allah Akbar. Eh Sufi, kya kar rahe tu? What are you doing? You have upset the makhluk of Allah, and now you're going to stand in front of the khaliq of that makhluk? No, go back." So he said, "I made a U-turn. I went back and I said to my wife, 'Forgive me.'" I said, "Forgive me. I should have not behaved or responded like this. Please forgive me." She said, "No, you don't have to ask forgiveness." I said, No. If you forgive me." So she said, "I forgive you." I said, "Waqiya, dil se maaf kiya? Have you forgiven from the heart?" Says, "Yes." He said, "I will go. I will establish Asr. I will come back and then we will have food together." This is an understanding of the complete deen. This is the understanding of the complete deen. How many people in the masjid, but they have trampled over the feelings of so many before coming to the masjid? Those that are upset, they are the makhluk of Allah. True love does not allow us to upset anyone. True love of Allah, not makhluk, true love of Allah does not allow us to upset anyone. So helping one brother in the time of need basically will place so many trenches between you and the fire of hell. Only one day, three trenches. You calculate 10 years, i'tikaf. So this was the first lesson from this hadith, or first instruction that was given. Second line. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I would like to add a ayat with this, because ayat should be placed before the hadith. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 280. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now basically Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah that contains injunctions, like Surah Ali Imran, like Surah Nisa, Surah Ma'idah. Surah Al-Baqarah contains so many injunctions. I believe when we were making tafsir about 10-12 years ago, it took us 3 years to complete Surah Baqarah, because there were so many injunctions in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it has been said that many Sahaba learned Surah Baqarah in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years, because they did not just learn the words, but they learned the deep meaning that were contained in those words. So what does this ayah say? 280. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَ. If the debtor is in hard times, he can't pay, he is facing difficulty right now. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَ. Then the Quran says, give him some time so it is easy for him to repay. That is the first hukam, first level. But it's not the ultimate level. So if one person comes and he says, "Please, Imam Sahib, give me $100. I give him $100 for 1 month. After 1 month, it is my time to approach him. And I approach him and I find that he is in problem. He can't pay me back. Give him time. Give him respite. So it is easy for him to pay. But what does the Quran say? وَأَنْتَ صَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you remit it by way of charity, you remit it by way of charity, you say, all right, غريب آدمي, he can't pay it back, so I forgive. Remit it. خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, it is better for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, only if you knew. We do not see the reward attached to that. Only if that person knew the reward that he is getting by remitting it by way of charity. Allahu Akbar. So the first level, it is your right. It is your right to demand it. Second level is, you know that he's not in the position, give respite. The third level, the ultimate level, is to forgo of it. Forgive that person. In the tafsir of this ayah, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, the ulama have made mention of many, many ahadith mubarakah that give us an insight to this topic of the creditor and the debtor. And they made mention of something that I would like to share with you. And I would like to explain it as a teacher by example. So Brother Mubarak, I go to Brother Mubarak and I say, Brother Mubarak, I need $1,000. Brother Mubarak says, it's the month of January. On the 1st of February, on the 1st of February, I will demand it from you. I says, all right. I'll try my best, inshallah. So on the 1st of February, Brother Mubarak comes and he says, Imam Sahab, time is up. Give me the $1,000. Say, Brother Mubarak, faqir, I don't have anything. Can't pay you. Can you extend the time? He says, all right, I will extend the time. I will extend the time to the 1st of March. The ulama say that this extension, Allahu Akbar, is going to give Brother Mubarak so much reward. So for the first time, I demanded or requested a loan from Brother Mubarak the first month. He will get the reward for each day of giving $1,000 in sadaqah. For each day. That's 30 days. So he gets the reward of $30,000 sadaqah. Next month, the month of February, the reward will be multiplied by 2. Each day he will get the reward of $60,000 of sadaqah. The month of March, Brother Mubarak says, 2 months up. I said, look, I still don't have the muscle, the financial muscle to repay. He says, I give you another month. Now it will be multiplied by 3. Each day he will get $90,000 reward of sadaqah. Allahu Akbar. So I have found my mashayikh in Pakistan that they deliberately extend. If they don't need that money, they will deliberately extend. So they can keep getting the money. But by listening to this hadith, the debtor should not exploit this. He says, ah, this is going to happen. And that's why in Urdu they say, qarze hasana, qarz deke hasana. Qarze hasana, qarz deke hasana. Dena nahi? Nahi nahi karna. Shouldn't exploit it, shouldn't exploit it, but this is the reward attached to it. There was a person in the past, we're just going to make mention of one hadith. Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu ta'ala an, one of the great Sahaba. He has reported this from the Nabi of Allah, and the hadith is in Bukhari. The hadith is in Bukhari, that Nabi Akrim said, إِنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. There was a person from the early times. أَتَاهُ الْمَلَكُ لِيَقْبِضَ رُوحَهُ. The angel came for the extraction of his soul. So the angel arrived to extract his soul. And the angel said to him, هَلْ عَمِلْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Have you done any good? قَالَ مَا أَعْلَمْ. He says, I don't know of any good. So basically the angel doesn't ask, he just extracts the soul. But the hadith is in Bukhari that this person was asked, هَلْ عَمِلْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Have you done any good? He said, قَالَ مَا أَعْلَمْ. He said, I don't know. قِيلَ لَهُ أُنْذُرْ. So the angel says to him, recollect, think. Did you do anything? And he goes, أعلم ما أعلم شيئا غير أني كنت أبايع الناس في الدنيا وأجازيهم، فأنذر الموسر وأتجاوز عن المعسر فأدخله الله الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. How easy is that? He said, look, I haven't done much. The only thing is that I'm a tradesperson. So I was very lenient in my dealings. If there was a rich person, I used to grant him respite, more time. And if he was a poor person, I used to say, you are forgiven. That's what I used to do my entire life. That was by dealing with people. Rich person, I know he has the financial muscle to repay, so I used to give him time, I'll give you another month. Poor person, I used to say, look, most probably in the next 20 years you can't pay me, repay me, so I forgive. فَأَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah allowed him to enter Jannah. We will further comment upon this aspect in the weeks to come. My noble brothers and sisters, dear audience that is listening, let's switch on when it comes to our akhlaqiyat. Do not switch that button off. Basically, akhlaqiyat is going to be a very important imtihan for us on the Day of Judgment. It is a very important imtihan on the Day of Judgment. The salah alone will not allow us to cross the line. Our individual ibadat alone will not get us across the line. I made mention in the start last week, and I will reiterate that the bunyad of iman is two things. Do you remember what I said? Two things: at-ta'zeemu li amrillah wa shafqatu ala khalqillah. It is to respect the orders of Allah Almighty and to have compassion, empathy for the makhluk of Allah. تعظيم لأمر الله والشفقة على خلق الله. The ulama say that these are two wings. You can't fly with one wing. You can't fly with one wing. You need both wings. And basically this hadith is addressing one of the wings. Allah Almighty adorn each one of us with both wings and grant us the highest level of success in haqooqullah and in haqooqul ibad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.